We are on a continuing mission to have people share their stories and their testimonies. Brandy, if you want to grab that microphone. And we're having guys and gals share. Wesley, I don't know if you know Tall Wesley with the bald head from Wichita, but Wesley shared his testimony in Wichita this morning. It was wonderful. Wesley knew Jesus at 5, went to Berean Christian School, and through the high school years began to be a little tired of religion, and he and a bunch of guys there kind of went wild, as can happen sometimes even in Christian schools, and then in 18 began to go crazy wild and spent 20 years seeking after drugs and alcohol and everything he could chase and catch. And then at 38 years old, the Lord came and got that prodigal. And it was an awesome, awesome thing as you shared about God breaking his hard heart at 38. And he is 4 years into being totally sold out and ministering. It's just an awesome, awesome thing. A lot of consequences from that life of a prodigal, but he is just sold out. And we just loved hearing his story. Brandy Starr lives closest as anyone to here. They live just like that way, 20, 30 feet. And we're so glad for the Stars. We're in a house church with them. And I asked Brandy just to share her story of what Jesus has done in her life.
So in our house, church was really kind and they prayed for me, and that was really nice because I don't generally have people praying for me to talk. But I've been praying for Scott, so you might keep that in mind too as I get to going. But I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to CCD, I went to Mass every week, and on Holy Days of Obligation, and blah, blah, blah. So I never really understood what the real message of salvation was. It was around me, I was hearing it, I didn't read the Bible, I wasn't encouraged to read the Bible, which is, I don't think, uncommon, and I had people in my family, and I still have people in my family who I believe understood it a lot better than I did, and you know, are saved. And but something never clicked for me. I did a lot of praying, said a lot of Hail Marys, a lot of that. I went to college, and things never really clicked. I had seen some of my great-grandparents suffer a lot. I wasn't really sure what God had to do with all this suffering, and took a class that, it was a Bible as literature class, and when I think about it now, I'm pretty sure that the professor was not a Christian, but so I was like, yeah, this is a nice book. And sort of decided to take up the belief that God existed, that we were created. I could look around and see that there was something supernatural. We didn't just all, you know, I knew there had to be a God. But I didn't believe in the Bible. I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in any of those things. So as time went on, I know that I was even invited to some like small groups and things in churches, and I would listen to people talk about their faith. And throughout my 20s, I began to pray for faith because I thought that was really awesome. And so I began to pray for faith, and I would ask the Lord for faith in him. But Christ was no part of that. So I'm sure you can sort of imagine that wasn't very successful. I was really a people pleaser. I really wanted to be loved unconditionally. It was really important to me. I would do whatever I could to please anyone around me. And that's not always a good thing. I got married really young, so because I thought, well, here's somebody who's going to be obligated to really love me no matter what, a husband, that wasn't awesome. And so I also got divorced really young and continued to pray for faith, but sort of just live my life like whatever. So when I was 28, I lived with my boyfriend, and I kind of knew he had some beliefs. We had talked about it some. And one day he came to me, and we had been living together for about a year. And he said, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I love him, and I love the Lord, and this isn't right. So however many of you know me know that I'm kind of snarky and lippy, and I thought I was really clever. And, you know, I went and got myself a Bible because I needed to know what that thing said so that I could argue with him a little bit about it. And I want to be clear, this is why I've been praying for him, is that I don't want it to sound, and he's like, you know, that kind of makes me sound like I'm, you know, suddenly a little self-righteous, but it's not, it's conviction. And the Lord will sweetly convict us and show us what he wants from us. And he had that, and he spoke to him. And so we still lived in the same house, but we lived in different rooms. And I had my Bible, and I was going to, I could argue this. And still praying for faith. He, unbeknownst to me, is praying for someone to come invite him to church. And somebody did. Somebody came and knocked on the door and invited him to church. And so he took me to the church with him. We went there. I was still reading my Bible. And while Simon's and going to church, simultaneously telling anyone who would listen that my boyfriend remembered he's a Christian. And my life was a little weird. So, which isn't really very nice of me. But I was doing that. That's what we're dealing with, is someone with that level of not interested. This is a little crazy. I can fight this. And I went to this church, which was an interesting place to be. There was a lot of, I would just say that given my attitude, that it was really miraculous and it was the Lord's will that I was saved there. Because I wasn't the kind of female that they were... that they were discipling. I had a job that was, you know, out in a university that had a lot of responsibility. I sometimes wore pants, and I had shorter hair. And this, none of this, none of this measured up to what was going on. And I knew that, but I still heard the Lord's word. And, it was one of those things where I began to know the truth, but I couldn't deal with it because I felt really unworthy. But right before me was this, what I had been praying for also, in addition to my faith, was that here was unconditional love. But I didn't think I could have it because I didn't think I deserved it. And so I spent a lot of months with that, and I feel really grateful that before the day that I was able to really know and believe that I was saved, that I was able to make that conscientious decision and feel like I know that I have unconditional love from the Lord and from Christ, and that is what the whole basis of it is. And I thank the Lord all the time for the conviction that my sweet husband had, that he knew the Lord, and that the Lord was coming after him too.
So you got saved through living with a guy who remembered he was and who is with us today. Yes. And I want to hear Scott's story. We're going to hear Scott's story sometime. But what a wild deal. And then he starts praying. He's under conviction. Then you guys go to a church and you hear the gospel in probably an independent Baptist church is what that was.
Yes, it was.
A lot of short hair, a lot of dresses.
A lot of long hair.
A lot of long hair. Yeah. Long hair and dresses. And you're liberal Randy in the middle of that.
Yeah,
and you heard the gospel though. Uh-huh. That's awesome. Yeah. Isn't that cool how the Lord keeps coming after us, even in the wildest places? That's a great story. Thank you very much. That's awesome. We tell those stories so you'll be encouraged, because the enemy and your flesh wants to tell you that you're in a place where God doesn't love you anymore and is not coming after you anymore. We have watched Scott and Brandy be disciples and grow and grow and grow in Jesus as their conviction increased. And so just praise the Lord that he comes after us. And those that maybe you see in your life, you've got a family member or someone that's struggling. Maybe it had an early day of doing something with the Lord, but doesn't later. I just don't give up hope. Never, ever give up hope. And never stop praying that the Lord can touch someone and bring them to the Lord.